Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
Middle of summer?
Yeah. Actually, right. Beginning of summer.
Yeah. Today is the second day of summer.
It is.
Now, it's unfortunately, the days start getting shorter.
Yeah.
It's so funny, really, because it's like you almost feel like summer's ending and it just started.
Yeah.
Well, it is summer. It is beginning, and we are lucky to be here. Got up this morning, went for a nice bike ride with my son, got to ride down to the beach. It was beautiful.
It is beautiful out.
So, Courtney Rice, did I say that right?
Yeah.
So, I know you from next door over at, I don't know, do we call it Model Mortgage?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because I know you are over there working with the old fathers doing the Model Mortgage. You guys are always hustling. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I need to get you on the podcast to find out what you guys are up to. And but I always appreciate that. But I thought we'd just chat for a little bit about, you know, did you grow up here?
I did not. I'm originally from Northern Virginia.
Here, let me just pull that mic. Just lift it. There you go. There you go. So you're originally from Northern Virginia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is born and raised here. My dad was born and raised here, and he says, if you're born and raised here, you leave. And then if you're not born and raised here, you end up moving here.
I think that's why I left Northern Virginia. It's like, my friends that are still there, it's like, how?
Well, is it very busy over there?
It is.
I know that anytime you cross that bridge, it's just chaos.
Yes.
So I've never lived in Virginia. I lived in Baltimore, I guess, when I was a very small child, when my dad was stationed at the Pentagon. But I don't really... I remember our street, and I remember I had a three-wheeler, you know the thing you pulled and spin, spinning three-wheeler? Yeah, I remember that, but that's it. That's all I remember of my time there. So, Rehoboth Beach, do you love it?
I love it.
How long have you been here?
Just about 12 years.
12 years?
Yeah.
So you've seen some changes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think if, you know, and it's kind of weird, we've had an interesting couple years. We've actually had an interesting... almost 3 years, I would say, really, just through the pandemic and all the stuff that's kind of been going on. But there was some changing going on prior to even that happening. But, you know, I think if you've been here for 10 or 12 years, you've seen, you know, times where it was a lot slower.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and now people are moving here. And it's exciting, but, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, different opinions on the changing of the town.
Yeah, and, you know, coming from Northern Virginia, when my parents bought their house, it was, you know, the suburbs of D.C., and everyone was like, why are you moving so far away? There was just farms and nothing.
Right.
And now there's a metro next to the house I grew up in. And,
right.
You know, the metro line goes all the way out there, and it's almost like a small city. Seeing that place change, it's like, this place is changing, but...
Yeah. Well, I remember I lived in Easton back in 2000, 1999, 2000, and Easton was a suburb of D.C. I mean, and that's...
Yeah.
An hour away.
Yeah.
But that's just how popular that area is.
It's
crazy. Well, and I think that's, you know, and you're in the, what business are you in? Tell me what you do.
I do mortgage lending.
Mortgage lending. So, I mean, my wife and I were talking about, you know, because we own a house, we're building a house and we own another house and we're going to rent the other house. And she's like, we should just sell it. And I go, what would we do with the money? And she goes, we would invest it. And I go, I think right now we probably have our money invested in one of the best things to have our money invested in, which is land in Rehoboth.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely.
I mean, I don't know how many people. I had a guy text me, hey, your address, I love it. That'd be the perfect house for me. Meet me at sushi and we'll chat 20 minutes. I'm like, first of all, who are you? Second of all, I'm not selling. He goes, all right, thank you. I'm not sure who it was, but I'm like, who is this? Like, but it's that desperate right now. People are really hustling to sell or buy property in this area.
Yeah, you know, inventory at the beginning of the summer was really low. It's starting to, I think, come back up a little bit. But yeah, there's lots of clients wanting to buy, but there's just no houses.
Right.
Is what I'm hearing from the realtors.
Well, and you know, it's funny, and you can tell me if this is true or not, but it always seems like, you know, Rehoboth is the heart, right? The beginning. I remember, because I moved here in 94. Okay. So I've been here for a hot minute. And the house that we live in, we paid $111,000 for, that included the property and a two-car garage that we added on. And now that property is, you know, I'm not going to say a number, but it's a lot more than that, right? But it all starts in Rehoboth, and it kind of, you know, becomes popular. You know, when I moved here, we couldn't afford to live on the east side of the drawbridge, right? You couldn't get into town, but you could build or you could buy around Rehoboth. But as it's gotten popular, then it starts to spread to like a Millsboro. You know, I remember when Millsboro started becoming, you remember the signs, just minutes from the beach, right? But
yeah.
It's, you know, down 24. And we all said, no, stop. But, you know, it was in Millsboro, and then it kind of started creeping out towards Milton. And now we're even seeing property out towards Milford and Lincoln. But as it grows popular, it grows. And then as it starts to shrink back down, it all kind of still ends up back in Rehoboth.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, my family's had a house in downtown Rehoboth since I was probably like 15.
Mm.
So I've been coming to the Eastern Shore. And then prior to that, my grandmother lived in Ocean City. So I've been coming to the Eastern Shore since I can remember. And so I've definitely seen a lot of changes and seen it, you know, grow out. And I keep saying, the older I get, the more I want to like move further out of Rehoboth.
Right.
I love Rehoboth. It's definitely the heart, but it was like, there's just so many people there. And that's why I left Northern Virginia. It was like, there's just too many people, too much traffic. And now I'm starting to feel that way about Rehoboth. And it's like, get me further and further out.
Where do you live now? I mean, not Milton. You live out in Milton?
Yeah.
I love Milton.
I love it.
I love this where we're at right here. I used to, you know, I opened the salon. It's been 12 years now. I used to call this Luton because this is where all the people that couldn't afford to buy in Lewis ended up. And I felt like that was this kind of like, we're so close to Lewis that it's almost like a Luton.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Milton. Milton's fantastic. I think and 12 years ago, it wasn't that popular.
No, and I love Milton. I just think that town is so cute.
It is.
And so small, and, you know, it's so close to the beach still. I don't want to sell it too much.
Right, well, it's sold out.
Yeah.
Milton's sold out. You can't get into Milton now.
Yeah.
Milton is like the new Lewis.
Yeah.
Well, and it's great. I mean, you know, especially for businesses like mine and the others that are in Painter's Mill here. I used to call this the island of unwanted toys. This is where you kind of got sent when you couldn't make it, right, in Rehoboth or Lewis. You know, back in those days, everybody, if you wanted to have a small business, it either had to be in Rehoboth or in Lewis. And if you couldn't do those two, you weren't going to have any success. And that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah, and that's great to see.
It's great to see. I love it. So, but what I was going to say is that, you know, when I moved here, you know, life was a lot different. It was very quiet. Very quiet. And I think we were starting, I know that, you know, back in the day, Rehoboth was clearly a summer town. You know, you just didn't have heaters. You know, you didn't have heaters in houses. It was like you were here for the summer, then you shut the house down and you went back home.
And all the businesses shut down too.
And all the businesses. So there was maybe a couple that would hang in there a little bit, but, you know, it was a big change. So when I moved here in 94, I think it was that beginning of that change that, you know, people were starting to live here year-round. I know that my first winter here was very quiet. I mean, there was nobody, you know, I mean, there was nobody around.
Yeah.
But we slowly see the change, and then obviously through the pandemic, more people are moving here. And, you know, people like to say, oh, the traffic is bad. You know, it's not that it's bad. It just is, it's enough that it kind of limits you on how much you want to move around the town. You know, because like I always say, you get one trip to Home Depot.
Yeah.
If you didn't buy the right thing, you'll probably have to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to go back. It's not Northern Virginia traffic, but it's just enough. Like, because, you know, where we live now, we live sort of behind the Ocean Atlantic building. And I've been there for 20-something years, and we're building a new house. We're getting out of Rehoboth. The traffic and what goes on down there is now so crazy that it's, you know, it's nice to visit, but it's nice to try to get out of it.
Yeah, I agree completely. My old office was in downtown Rehoboth. And it was like, as soon as the summer starts, it's like, you'll see me in the winter.
Right, exactly.
I'm not coming into the office.
Well, my son works down on, he works at Casey's down in Rehoboth, and he got his driver's license. And he's like, yeah, I'll just drive my truck down. I'm like, you might want to ride your bike.
Yeah.
And so, and now he's like, and now with the price of everything that's gone up, he's like, I'm riding my bike.
Yeah.
It's fun. So what's, so, you know, we've, like I said, I've been here a while. I've been, I used to actually have that space that you guys have now. It was the hair salon at one point.
I noticed that there's still a sticker on the
window. Yeah. So, but I was like, you know, I changed how I was operating and kind of gave that back to Ocean Atlantic. And it wasn't but a hot minute before Dustin had already swooped it up and grabbed it. And, you know, we've seen busy, we've seen it slow down, we've seen busy. So what? How are we doing? What's the, I know, I guess the interest rate's going up, right? That's a big conversation. That's going to slow everything down. Is that what's happening?
You know, I always say that everyone always has a need to buy and sell homes. Right. So interest rates really shouldn't deter people from doing that because, one, we don't know how much they're going to go up and when they're going to come back down.
Right.
So it's like take advantage of the market now, and if they do come back down, that's what refinancing is for.
What did somebody say? I think marry the house, date the rate.
Yeah.
Is that lingo in the mortgage business?
I've never heard that, but I like it.
Yeah, I won't say who wrote it, but she's a smart lady too. But marry the house, date the rate.
Yeah.
Because, and I think she basically said the same thing. You know, if the rate goes back down, adjust it. You know, do whatever you refi or whatever it is you have to do. I'm sure that, you know, in the business of mortgages, it's good to push that. I'm sure in the business of trying to save money, you probably, I could argue on both sides of it. But I thought that was a great way of thinking about it. Marry the house, date the rate.
Yeah, that is a great way of thinking about it.
So, but one of the things I think that a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of people buying houses here are just paying cash.
Yeah.
And if you're paying cash, the rate doesn't matter.
Right.
If you have the cash.
Yeah, and that was the hard thing. You know, at the beginning of the summer, I lost a lot of business to people saying, I don't want to pay that rate, especially after for the rate you're getting for a second home is, you know, went up so high in March that people were like, never mind, I'll just pay cash.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like, where are they getting all this cash from? There's so much cash out there.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, they take it out of their investment portfolios and they put it into homes.
So is a house still a good investment?
Oh, absolutely.
And land around here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I remember, you know, I just recently Joe Hudson had passed and he has the Hudson Fields up here and Joe owned a lot of land. And people said, well, I wish I had that kind of land. And I said, well, you know, Joe's been sitting on that land for a long time. You know, Joe sat on that land when that land wasn't really worth anything, right? And all of a sudden, 50 years later, and, you know, Joe is king of land, and which is great. You know, I think everybody loved Joe Hudson and the Hudson family. But, you know, I say, you want to be like Joe Hudson? Go, you know, out towards, you know, Harrington, right? And buy a bunch of land.
Yeah.
And in 50 years, that will be very, very pricey land.
Yeah. I was talking to someone, and they just had a sale from the house, and the land was oceanfront property. I want to say this was Bethany Beach area, but the original owners of the land had only paid a couple $100s for the land.
Oh, my God. My dad owned waterfront property in Bethany. I think they bought it when, you know, 40 years ago. And I think they paid like $3,000. It was super cheap. He ended up selling it so that he could open a auto parts business over in Oklahoma City. And I'm like, he goes, I wish I hadn't done that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he actually said those words, but, you know, I think he was like, I wish I still had the land, you know, because who knew?
Yeah, your return on that investment.
So, and like I was telling my wife, you know, I think the best place to have our money right now is in land.
Yeah.
At least for this area.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's not going away. We're blessed that we have that chunk of sand and that hunk of water that really stops everything from until they start building islands, right?
Yeah.
We're pretty much locked in.
Yeah.
So what is a day like for you?
You know,
I can say what I see a day is like for you, which I think is great, which is just you and who's your partner in there?
Doug.
Doug. You guys are just like out walking, doing your work. I remember when you first started, you had your phone to your head, and now you got earbuds. But I love it. I always appreciate people that really work hard and hustle and do what they do very well. And it seems like you guys are doing it.
Yeah, you know, my day usually starts off, I have a 20-month-old son.
Oh.
And so usually it's like get him ready, take him to daycare. And then usually I go for a 5-mile run and get into the office and just start calling clients and making sure that I can get people in houses as quickly and efficiently as possible and making their dreams come true. I love homeowners and, you know, their drive to want to take part in, you know, owning homes in this area. It's awesome.
Well, we're really kind of going through a tough time right now because there are big corporations that are buying up land.
Yeah.
And, you know, you probably saw it on 60 Minutes. We're starting to become a rental country,
yeah.
Right? You know, there's these people, they just want to buy as much land and they just want to rent. And one of the things with our house is that we want to leave it to our kids because literally, you know, and my kids will probably be very successful and they'll be able to buy anything they want. But if they don't, right, if they can't, you know, we want to pass this house on to them, the one that's down in Rehoboth, because we're becoming a financial island, right? It's becoming harder and harder. In fact, we're renting it to a business that's going to let their employees live in it.
Okay.
Because employees can't find any place to live.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to see a lot of businesses that are starting. I think Grotto's is doing that. And they probably, my uncle used to rent houses out down in Rehoboth, and he would rent out to, you know, these summer kids and, you know, put 10 or 12 kids in these places.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see, I guess, a little more of that now because bigger restaurants can't afford to have people, or they can't afford to find a place to live to work here.
Yeah, and I've worked with clients who bought investment properties for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need somewhere for their employees to stay and live and, you know, somewhere where they can thrive. They have a job and now they need a place to live. It's nice that companies will do that for their employees.
Yeah. So you're a runner?
Yeah.
You're a track star?
No.
She's a runner. She's a track star. Where do you run?
Just in Milton.
Just 5 miles of ground?
Yeah.
Every day?
I try to do it 5 times a week.
Yeah.
At minimum.
Yeah. Well, listen, I was doing a lot of running, and I really just kind of stopped. In fact, I had to, like, make a commitment with somebody just so I can get one run in at least a week. But I was running 5 days a week, 5 miles a day.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for some reason, I'm like, I'm going to be a runner till I die. And for some reason, I just kind of got real content. I don't know, but I'm struggling with running.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a real, you know, I like to say it, I'm not living unless I'm suffering.
Yeah.
And if you go for a 5-mile run, there is a lot of suffering.
And people are always like, you must love running. And it's like,
I love it, like the last mile. It's funny, and you can tell me how you feel about this, but I used to say that, you know, I would, you know, slay all the people that I hated in my first mile, right?
Yeah.
And then I'd walk through the bodies in my second mile. And then the third mile, I'd be like, I'm sorry. Sorry that I did that. I apologize. It's like this whole, like, spectrum of, like, self and humility.
Yes, especially when I'm having a really tense day or feeling really off. It's like, just go run it off.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better after I run.
It's a miracle.
But some days, man, putting on my running shoes, I'll wait till the last minute well, to get that run in. And it's like, no, you got to go. You'll feel better.
Well, and it sounds like you're deep in it, which is awesome. But I know for me, I'm like, when it warms up, I'm back into it once it warms up. And then it's like, it's a little warm, you know, too buggy.
Yeah.
But, you know, how old are you?
37.
And I'm 53. So it's... Yeah, time slowly, time catches up. And I ran with my buddy James last week, and I think we were supposed to run today, but he didn't call and I didn't call. My son and I did go for a nice bike ride, but I hadn't run for probably 8 weeks and ran with him, and I felt great.
Yeah. I do some of the trails down in Rehoboth and some other places, but usually just next to my house.
Yeah.
Because I'm busy.
What time are you an early runner?
I used to be. I used to get up at the, you know, crack of dawn and run. But now with my son, it's harder to, you know, have him until he goes to daycare.
No, absolutely.
And I'll push him in the carriage too, but that slows me down so much. It's so much easier to run by myself. On weekends, I do have to.
Do you like to run for time?
No, I do it more just for myself. I'm definitely not fast.
Right. No, I mean, I'm not either, and I don't run for time, but I do have an average. You know, I know if I'm doing okay, and I'm about a 10-minute mile runner.
That's right, where I am.
But sometimes, you know, it's a 11 minutes. Well, and James and I, when we run, we end up chatting and taking pictures and bullshitting and just having fun.
And I'll have clients and realtors call me, and they're always like, "I'm sorry if you're running," and it's like, "No, I'll gladly take this break and walk for a minute and talk to you."
Yeah. No, how did you for a person, you know, like I remember when I started, I used to smoke cigarettes. And I was like, I want to quit these cigarettes. And I remember going to, this is before I owned a hair salon, I went to Rutgers University and got a degree in turf management. And I would go to the gym up in New Jersey, and then I'd get in my car and have a cigarette. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I started doing some spinning at the Y in Rehoboth. I actually finished school and came back here and started spinning. And I was like, holy cow, look how much I'm sweating. And just really starting to... I guess get enough confidence to think that I could do it, because I think we're not a huge fan of ourselves, I'm not a huge fan. Like when I think I'm going to go for a run inside, I'm like, don't do it. Your knees are going to hurt. You know, I'm like, I'm not listening to you, you know, but that's, you know, the spinning was an introduction to like sweating and just feeling the endorphins of exercise. And then finally I said, I want to run. And I said, I want to run and I don't want to smoke. And I put down the cigarettes and started running. And but, you know, it's intimidating, right? And so, like, how did you start? If you could help somebody, if someone was like, you know, Courtney, I want to run, what would be some advice?
So for me, it was I got a puppy. And
nice.
She had so much energy. And, you know, they say a good dog is a tired dog. And I was like, let's go for a run.
Is that what they say? A good dog is a tired dog?
Yeah, because they'll listen. They don't have the willpower to not sit or not do what you're asking.
Right.
So they say a good dog is a tired dog. So it was like, all right, let's go for a run. And it wasn't my first puppy, but she sure needs her runs. And even today, you know, she'll look at me like, are we going? Are we going? Are we going? And it's like, come
on. So you have a partner?
Yeah.
That's cool. Does the dog go with you every time?
Not every time. I usually try to do at least 1 mile with her, and then I'll do 4 miles by myself.
Oh, so you can kind of do a loop. Do you pass by your house? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
All right, you're out. You're going in the house now.
Yeah, she'll do 5 miles with me. She has no problems with it, but especially in the heat, I feel like it's kind of torturous to drag her with me for 5 miles. But in the winter, she gets more out of it. That and just, you know, sitting all day for work, you know, it's what else do I do?
Right. Well, I know for me, I had to start with, like, you know, if I could just, and this even, you know, 20 years later, I can get up and say, listen, if you can just make it to the corner.
Yeah.
Right. You know, or if I could just get dressed and get outside. Right. But, you know, my ego or myself's like, yeah, don't bother. It just, it's weird how I try to talk myself out of running. But I'm like, shut up, I'm going to do it. If I can just make it to the corner, like the other day when I ran with James, I'm like, I'm going to have to walk a lot. I can already tell. This is like my ego. We're going to be walking a lot. I hope James is going to be okay with that today. I was great.
Yeah.
You know, I've said, I'm going, ego, bye-bye. And off we went. And ego's like, all right, I'll wait here. And I was like, I had never taken a break at all. I felt great. It was just... But I think for me early on, it was like little short goals. Like if I can just get to the corner and then I'll walk a lap. And then if I can just get another 10 feet, I'll walk a lap.
Yeah. And right after I had my son, my doctor was like, you're not allowed to run for 6 weeks. And she laughed at my 6 week appointment. She's like, so how long did you actually wait? And I was like, 3 weeks.
Oh, after you had the baby?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she said, she goes, I knew you wouldn't last 6 weeks. But that first run, it was like, I went out and I was like, I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to walk with the baby. And I was like, well, I can probably run for a little bit. And I ended up knocking out 5 miles. And I was like, what?
I ran with all my kids in a stroller.
Yeah.
In a running stroller.
Yeah.
And it just was, I mean, so awesome. It's funny, you know, my kids are a little older, obviously. My son Sam is 11. And It's and you'll go through this. It's really cool when your kids start to kind of explore. You know, obviously they're next to us for, you know, stay next to me, you know, don't go over there. And then finally, eventually, you have to start letting them kind of have an adventure. And I took him, you know, we live, like I said, down from the Ocean Atlantic building. So we live by the Junction Breakwater Trail. And we've ridden down to the trail. We've turned around in the parking lot. We've even walked, you know, down to that bridge. But the other day, he's like, do you think we could maybe ride the trail? And I was like, let's go. And you just see his eyes. It just, you know, to get out and to almost have this had this border for so long and to push through it. And then we ended up in the outlets. And then we rode behind Kmart or Aldi or whatever it is now. And then through, like, Giant. And then up on, you know, there's a hill that's kind of to the right of Giant. Do you ever shop at Giant?
Yeah.
There's that little mountain.
Yeah.
And we rode our bikes to the top of the mountain. He's like, oh, my God, his mind was just blown. So this morning he's like, can we do another bike ride? And so now I'm like, okay, it's kind of like the dog, right? The dog's like, are we going? Are we going? And, you know, it's fun to do things by yourself, but it's also fun to share it with other people or animals.
Yeah. And with my son, when I have him in the stroller, we'll stop at the park and I'll let him run around.
Oh.
And so he loves it. And so it's nice to run with him.
Yeah.
And the dog.
Well, and I think my kids have always known me to run and they've never known me to ever drink. Yeah. And I think, you know, just because you're not giving your kids liquor, I mean, I do think that, you know, they pick up the environment. I'm not saying that people that drink are bad. I'm just saying it's never been in our house. And we've always just been an exercise, try to eat kind of healthy sort of lifestyle.
Oh, they definitely see you. My boyfriend's son, he sees me run all the time. And his first 5K was last year, and he ran it, not with me, but he ran in it. And this year, he came in third in his age group, got a little medal. And he was like, that was so hard, but that was so amazing. And it was like, I was so proud of him.
Well, and I think that there's, you know, unfortunately, it takes running to experience it. And maybe I think you've experienced it. But there is a weird kind of thing that goes on between kind of this ego in our life. And you know, I call it the angel, right? And then the devil.
Yeah.
And the devil's like, don't do it. And the angel's like, we got this. But it's weird. And I said in the beginning of a run, I'm really very... kind of negative. I'm a little negative in the beginning of the run and kind of like, you know, kind of just bad mouthing in my head and not purposely, but just kind of working out this negativity. And then there's a transition that kind of happens. And in the end, you're kind of humble and really full of grace and grateful. And, you know, all of a sudden everything seems a little greener and the sun's a little shinier.
It does.
And it's, you know, I said it, I don't live unless I suffer. And people think, oh, my God, like a dog getting hit by a car suffer? I go, no, like inconvenienced, you know, running stinks, right? But when I go through it, it opens up a lot of great stuff that it's hard to explain or experience unless you kind of do it.
I agree completely. And, you know, the first thing that I do when I wake up, it's like put on running clothes, put on my running shoes, because I know that will... it's already solidifying that I'm going for this run.
It's official.
And then it's like, you know, I'll start to do housework and call clients and it's like, no, 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 get your run in before it's too hot and you will be miserable. But sometimes I'll procrastinate and it's like, why? You know, you're going to go for this run.
Do you, are you a winter runner?
Yes.
That's the best time, isn't it? If you can, I mean, you know, the pandemic really put a real wrench in me for some reason. And I think it's also just my age. We had a pandemic and I also like got in my 50s and it was weird. They all kind of happened at the same time. But prior to that, you know, I used to love, we'd run down to like that bridge and then I'd carve into the ice, the temperature, you know, 24, you know, and take a picture and then take off, you know, it was like the colder, the better, unless... I've only run a couple times where it was almost unbearable, and it wasn't really because of the cold. It was because of the wind, and it was blowing.
I always tell people that's the only condition I hate running in.
I hate running in the wind. And if I see, you know, you hate when you... And from the window, it seems a little windier, right? You're like, oh, I think are we having a hurricane? It's like, it's brutal.
I'll run in the rain. I'll run in the snow. I'll run in the cold. It'll be, you know, negative 10 degrees and I'll still run. But as soon as that wind, it's like, never mind.
Yeah. Well, is there a flag or something that you see? Like when I come, There's a flag that's over there by the AT&T store, kind of across from like where the Wise was. I guess it closed down. But, you know, I look at that flag. I'm like, ooh, you know, because it's blowing down towards Rehoboth. That's that northern wind. You know, that's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Wind is brutal. So the mortgages. So are you busy? What's it look like? I mean, last 8 weeks, changes? Having to hustle more? Just because we're in Rehoboth, nothing changes. It's always good here, always sunny.
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know, it's summer. People want to buy and sell houses, and they're moving forward with their journey. And every summer it gets busier. The winter obviously quiets down, but interest rates haven't really deterred many clients for me. You know, like I said, I lost a couple clients to cash offers, but who can blame them with those interest rates?
Yeah.
But there's always tons of people right behind them ready to buy too.
Well, I think is there still an inventory issue? Because there seems to be a lot of houses being built.
You know, inventory was definitely down a few weeks ago. I think it's starting to come back around.
So is inventory just, what would inventory be considered? Like just things available right now?
Yeah.
Not potentially available?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, we just got the closing date on our house, which is July the 20th. This has been a two-year adventure. I mean, a year and a half, two years between looking, between actually, we had, and this is funny, you know, we live in a double-wide kind of trailer. It's been a great house for us, but, and it was what we could afford. But, you know, at one point we were just like, let's just fix this house up. And people are like, you cannot do that. You cannot fix this house up. Do not put money into this house. This is a teardown eventually. You know, somebody one day will buy this. Maybe they'll live in it. But, you know, the land is really what people would want. But we're like, but we love our spot. So we kind of fantasized about that and then finally came to our senses. And then we started looking for, like, some property and couldn't find any property. So we ended up going with Shell because they are our local builder. And been very happy, but it's been a long process, you know, and obviously things, you know, people are having to wait for certain things, and but we finally got our date. But, you know, it seems like, I guess, everybody was selling their house a year ago, like, I'll sell it. Is that slowing down? Are people starting to realize maybe I should keep this?
You know, I'm not sure what their motivation is right now. I know that people are trying to sell their houses a lot now because prices are up.
Yeah.
So they want to, you know, get the most out of their house that they possibly can.
Well, I know for like us to move, because there's always, you know, everybody could sell a house, right? But then you got to find something else to live in. Exactly. And that's always the Achilles heel of this, the Achilles tendon of this whole problem. And, you know, I had a friend that he's like, he bought a house here. And then he was going to rent it. And then he's like, I'm just going to sell it. Bought a house in Milford. And now he's like, I wish I would have kept that house in Rehoboth and rented it. Is that another thing, too? A lot of rentals are people turning a house that they may have sold 2 years ago instead now thinking maybe I should keep it and just rent it? Or do you even know?
I don't.
Yeah. That was a good that was a great real estate question. Well, tell me about more. So, I guess is that all we can talk about mortgages? You know, Model Mortgage has been, I know, at least next to me for a couple of years. They've been around for a while, I guess. Or is that, did Dustin come up with that, or is that something that they became part of?
So Motto is a franchise.
Okay.
So Maria and Dustin bought this branch of Motto Mortgage.
And they have also, they can, I mean, what are some of the other states? Because they have insurance, homeowners insurance, I think.
Yeah, insurance.
They've really branched out.
Yeah.
Do you want to say some of the other things that they do, or do you want to just focus on this mortgage?
No, I think, you know, they also brought in someone that does financial planning.
Yeah.
And one of their goals is, like, helping employees. So they're like, please talk to our financial planners and make sure that also we're passing good information on to our clients.
Right.
And so now we kind of, you know, they can do it all.
They can do it all?
Yeah.
Well, they're, you know, they're OGs.
Yeah.
Right, original hustlers. Because they, you know, I've known Dustin forever, and he's just always got that smile on, and he's He's I love, you know, his spirit and his drive. And do you are you on TikTok now?
I am on TikTok, and I only posted one video by accident, and I didn't realize I did it because it was my son took my phone.
So is that is
so was chaos.
You know, I'm sitting, you know, my daughter, I'm like, I need to hire someone to do TikTok. And I go, maybe I can hire my 9-year-old because they seem to really have it figured out. Like, it's, you know, I feel like every couple months, something new comes along that I'm going to have to try to get involved in to promote whatever, whether it's hair, podcasting, whatever it is. And like, I was just sitting here and I was looking at him like, I wonder if I can make a reel. And it, so I brought it over, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, all right, so this is my options. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I turned it off. But I could have accidentally made a video. Like, you know, I think your son did yours, but I think, I wonder how many people go, oh, my God, it's working. You know, like, do you have to worry about, like, can you be a person doing mortgages and have TikTok? I mean, is there a way to implement this new sort of...
There are tons of people out there on TikTok talking about mortgages.
Yeah.
And interest rates and different products that, you know, we can do. And Justin actually was teasing me the other day saying, Courtney, when are you going to get on TikTok? And
oh, really?
Not yet.
Well, it's tough, right? It's like running. You know, I'm sort of, you know, back in my mind, I'm like, you know, don't do it. You're too old to be on TikTok. This is, you're out of the loop. But then at the same time, I want to still promote whatever we're doing. So it's tough.
Yeah.
And you know, you spend a half day doing social media, and it's like going on a 20-mile run.
Yeah.
I mean, but your brain is like fried.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that or have that problem where you have to spend a lot of time doing stuff like that, and at the end of the day, you're like, ugh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you spend a lot of time on the phone.
Yes.
I know, like, in my business, sometimes I go home and I go, I just don't want to talk right now. Can I just sit here and be in silence?
That's how I feel all the time. It's like I just need to... The pandemic kind of changed me from just... I was at home and it was like I just talked to clients. And then it was like to talk to a real person was amazing. You know, my boyfriend would come through the door and I'm like, how was your day? What are you doing? What's up? What can we do tonight? And it was like... just relax. And it was like, chill. I haven't seen a person all day.
Like a dog.
Yeah.
What's going on? How you been? Have you been all day?
Exactly.
Well, that's a great transition. So you're young, obviously, in a relationship. Do you guys go out? Do you have any favorite places to eat? You seen any great restaurants come and go? Favorite pizza? Can you afford to go out anymore?
We don't go out all that often. I mean, with a toddler, it comes with challenges. But we do go down to...
I've had three of them.
Yeah, we go down to Hudson Fields, and we'll listen to their concerts and
grab fun. Some
of the food from the food trucks and hang out so that, you know, the kid can play and run and you're not worrying about him, like, throwing food at other tables.
No, that's a great point. I know that the pandemic, it was an interesting... I wrote on my Facebook page yesterday, I said, I think for the first time, I think it's cheaper to eat healthy than it is not to. Because, you know, you have one child, I have three. You know, for us to go out to dinner, and, you know, this is nothing against restaurants. You know, they're, you know, we support as much as we can, right? But, you know, for us to go out to dinner and eat, you know, I'm sure the food's fine, but... You know, restaurant food, it would cost us a lot more money than if I just go home. Like the other night, I bought hanger steak and, flat iron steak, green beans, and some red potatoes. And I think that meal probably cost me $25 at the most, and it fed four of us. So it's almost cheaper now to eat a home-cooked, healthy meal than it is to go out.
Yeah, I love to cook.
And oh, you do?
Yes, I love to cook. And
nice.
So we eat at home a lot.
Yeah, well, if you love to cook and you can do it, that's awesome. I mean, I think sometimes it gets tough. You know, I know, like, on Tuesdays for me, I work late, and then it's our Chick-fil-A night, right? So I have to go drive to Chick-fil-A, and which is fine once a week for something like that, but I like to cook, too. And there's something nice about cooking and then providing it to your family to eat.
Yeah, I love it. And it's, you know... I always say, like, no cell phones at the dinner table. Like, just I just want everyone to talk to each other for the 10 minutes that you sit down to enjoy a meal.
Right.
It's like, I took all this time to cook it. Let's talk about our day and What are we thankful for? You know, that kind of stuff I make.
What is your favorite? What do you like to cook?
Oh, I cook everything.
Oh, my.
I grill a lot in the summer.
So are you cast iron or grill?
Both.
Oh.
I do both.
Okay. I have a grill, and the freaking metal part fell out, and it's so annoying. And this was an expensive grill, and I'm like, I'm done with grills. Oh, I would rather, I mean, so I cooked a flat iron. Have you ever had flat iron steak?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And but I'll put it in a skillet, sear it, and then put it in the oven 10 minutes, and it's nailed it.
Yeah. I grill year-round, and I love it because cleanup is much easier.
Right.
I mean, definitely in the winter, cook more pastas, more casseroles, that kind of stuff.
Do you like spaghetti? What is your pasta? Lasagna? Have you ever had lasagna next door?
I haven't.
It's very good.
I cook all of it.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Well, I only bring it up because I went through kind of a period where I was making lasagna a lot. And I'm like, well, what can I put in this? You know, let's try to adventure out of the traditional lasagna. I'm putting vegetables, and I'm realizing that doesn't work. And so, but I was making these kind of the single kind of serving of pasta or of lasagna. But you know those ready noodles that are, that are you just put in and then they bake and they're done.
I haven't tried those.
They're good.
They are.
Yeah, they're fine. But you know, but that's what I was kind of wondering. Do you, you know, if you know my father, who was like this traditional lasagna chef guy, he would, you know, but it was a day event making lasagna, and the whole kitchen was destroyed. Yeah. You know, I had to boil the noodles and lay them all out. It was a whole thing, and so that's why I was wondering if you just put the ready noodles in and just go for it, or you do the whole you boil all the work. Do you have an Instapot?
No.
Would you get one, or are you anti Insta?
No, I would try it.
Yeah, they're actually very good, especially for like stupid things like potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, things that just take a long time. And I could put the potatoes in the Instapot, and in 25 minutes, they're all done. Or vegetables, or I haven't quite gotten into, like, how you brown. I saw a cool, a cool recipe for this ragu. What was it? It was like a ragu. I don't know. It was a ragu. You put over these noodles, but you made it in an Instapot, and you had to, like, you could brown the meat and do all these cool different things. And I'm like, I'll just make potatoes with it. So do you have an outdoor cooking area? Or just a grill?
Just a grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. My deck is right off my kitchen.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I saw somebody yesterday that I think they're having Creative Courtyards build one of these mega kitchens on the backside of a house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I don't want to talk anybody out of getting one of those, but I'm like, I wonder how much I would actually, you know, be out there, you know, using it. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. My mom was always grilling too. But I'm like, she lives in Florida now. How do you not have a grill? She's like, I'm going to build the best outdoor kitchen ever.
Yeah.
And so she's holding off on buying a grill because she wants the whole outdoor kitchen.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, and grilling, you know, there is a, I come from, you know, where you just get it as hot as you can, and then you throw on the meat, and then you tss, tss, and flip it and do a couple things, and then you put it on a plate and bring it on in the house, everybody eats it. But and I've learned from using the cast iron skillet, there's really a sear, and then there's a slow heating of the inside. Mm-hmm. And I think I would overheat meat on the grill and force the moisture out, so I don't think I was doing it correctly. And now that I do the cast iron skillet, I'm learning there's a whole, you know, baking and bringing up the temperature. So I think I'm like, what is this upper rack for? You know, and I think really what sear it and then set it up and let it warm up and get to a temperature that's nice. But I'm always in too big of a hurry. And then plus my center heat thing fell out of the damn grill. I'm like, this thing's a piece of junk. Well, that's awesome. So how long have you been with Model Mortgage now? Has it been a year yet?
No, I just started in April.
Okay. So next April will be your 1 year anniversary.
Yes.
Everything going great?
Yeah, I love it. I came from a direct lender before, so they were direct with Fannie and Freddie. What I love about Motto is they have such a wide variety of products that can really open the door for all home buyers.
Yeah.
Whereas a direct lender, you're really held to the standards of Fannie and Freddie, and it was frustrating saying no to so many things. And now here we can do...
You have a little more flexibility.
All kinds of products.
What do you see the next year looking like? Do you try to picture that, or is it just one day at a time?
I think one day at a time. Every time I start to make predictions, the market tells me that I'm absolutely wrong.
So do exactly the opposite of what you think.
Yeah.
It sounds like my uncle and his betting. Yeah. I said, I could make a fortune doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Well, and I do, you know, that I was telling my wife the other day, I go, you know, because it's easy to kind of get up in to worry about the future or kind of focus on the past a little bit. And I said, listen, if we just take every situation, every minute, just kind of one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, we're going to get through anything, right? My buddy Matt used to always say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should work out fine.
Yeah.
And sometimes in it is people go, oh my God. But you know, Matt, did you know Matt Haley?
I did.
He was if you knew Matt, then you knew that's exactly the kind of thing he would say, but that's called dumbing it down for me. And I would think, well, that actually helps, you know? But, you know, I think if we stay in the moment and just kind of work through these things, you know, whether it's 1 minute or 1 day, you know, we're going to get through it. You know, I can tell you, I'm doing a lot less driving now with the, you know, the gas. I used to put we have the same sort of car, I think. Yeah. It was about $70 to fill up my car before Gasdemic happened. And I still just put $70 in. I stop it at 70, and I just drive less. And now I'm kind of like, how far can I go? And I filled up my car a week ago this past Saturday, and so today is what? Wednesday. So I'm almost a week and a half on this one tank. I'm like, how far can I make it?
Yeah, I'm definitely taking it closer to E than I normally would. I'm always like, just always keep gas in your car. And now I've been taking it closer to the empty than I normally do. And I don't know why. It's like, it's inevitable that you're going to have to pay
right.
a lot for gas. But
well, I just think that, you know, I think, you know, there was a time where if you didn't have anything to do, you might drive down to the beach and look at the waves, and now you just have to pay for that.
Yeah.
That luxury cost you now $5.
Yeah.
Well, someone wrote, I forget what the whole thing was, but basically I just paid $25. I think it was $25 a gallon for bottled water, and we don't seem to have any problem with that.
Yeah, and, you know, that's funny because people will pay, you know, 10% interest rate on their car, but then when it comes to a mortgage, it's like, hold on.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, you can refinance.
Well,
and you can, you might sell your house.
Right.
You know, there's all kinds of things.
Well, and you can write that off.
Yeah.
People don't, I think that, I'm not sure, that's really the first introduction to really writing stuff off was the interest rate on a home loan, for yeah. me at least. I'm like, you can write this off. But I never, you know, it was all kind of done for me with the tax guy or something. Yeah. But I was like, you know, what else can we write off? But it's kind of, you know, people, what about second mortgages? When I was living in Easton, my wife and I bought a townhouse, and it had a bubble mortgage, you know, like the second mortgage that was, you know, I think it was after 5 years, it had to be paid. Do they still do those things?
I've never dealt with one.
Yeah.
I think they went away with a lot of those products that seemed to...
That shadiness?
Yeah.
I remember the real estate, we were buying this townhouse, and it was so funny because it was $215,000 townhouse. No, it was a $215,000 house, and we couldn't afford it. Could not afford it. And the guy's like, how many deductions? How many kids you got? I'm like, we don't have any kids. Claim 7. Claim as much as you can. Get as much money as you can. I was like, this doesn't seem like great advice.
No.
That's funny.
Yeah, I got into mortgages after all the predatory lending, I guess is what they call it. But some of the stories that you hear of people who have been in the business for 30 years, it's like, you got away with what?
Yeah.
They don't need income for a house. It was like, how?
Right. Well,
no dogs, no income.
You're going to pay the piper at some point.
Yes.
And
that's why a lot of people lost their houses.
Right. Well, listen, a lot of people lose a lot of things because of that. They don't follow that simple rule. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Yes.
And that's old. That's, you know, my dad used to say that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like cryptocurrency. I'm like, it just seems really too good to be true. So I never got into it. Maybe I'll regret that one day, but... It is. So when you're doing this, do you build relationships with people? Like if you, I mean, I guess ideally you hope that when someone does a mortgage through you or with you, you know, one day they'll do another house and they'll call you again. So is that a thing still, or are we so focused on the moment that we're forgetting about the people that help us along the way? That
oh no, I think I, you know, I try to nurture my relationships with my clients.
Yeah,
it's a big investment. They say that the three hardest things that you'll ever do is get married, get divorced, and buy a house. And so you're handholding them through a process that, one, it's the most money that they'll ever spend in their lives.
Right.
And so I want to make it to make sure that, you know, I'm as transparent with all the numbers as possible. I want to make sure that they're comfortable with everything. And I want to make sure that I'm there for all questions and for anything that they need throughout the process.
Yeah.
And if I don't know the answer to something, I will find someone who does know the answer for you. Because there's a lot of moving parts when you're buying and selling real estate, and to walk people through that transaction, and every mortgage is different.
Yeah.
You know, there's not two people that are the same. So every financial situation is different.
Well, and, you know, and people are changing. I mean, we really see a whole kind of different kind of, I don't know if I've changed a lot. I mean, I'm sure I have, but, you know, whether it's being tolerant of, because like, we had a lady come in the other day, and there's a girl that works at the salon, and she hurt her arm, did something to her arm. And she's like, I'm not going to make it in. And I'll call all my clients. I'm like, you know, sounds good. And a lady comes in and she goes, where is she? And I go, she hurt her arm. And I think she tried to call you. Super sorry. She goes, I am very disappointed. And I was like, oh. Like very, very, like how very? I mean, you heard me right. She hurt her arm. It's not like she said, I don't feel like coming in. This lady's coming in and I don't care. She hurt her arm. She had to cancel her whole day out. And she was just like very disappointed. And I was like, oh. And now I'm kind of like nurturing this lady to, it's okay. You know, we're super sorry. Are you having to find yourself to be a little more, I don't know what even the word is, but I guess kind with people, or do you are people testy, a little more testy now than they used to be, or what are you finding?
Maybe I'm just blessed with great clients, but I don't usually have people that are yelling and screaming at me, and yeah. I feel like the more communication is probably why you see me on the phone all day long. Yeah. It's the more communication I have with them, the more comfortable that they can feel that if they have questions or if they're in a position where they're going to be uncomfortable, they can come to me and we can work out the problems or the issues. And so people don't have to yell and scream.
So you've been kind this whole time.
I try. I hope.
Well, and I agree. And I'm the same way. But there's, you know, like this the other day, I'm having to stop what I'm doing. I'm trying to, you know, I'm like, listen. It's okay. Like, I don't know. And plus this, like, there's a big chunk of people that kind of matter, right? And they're all getting older. Like my father, he's, you know, not that we don't all matter, but like not everybody's buying big houses, right? There's a group, a little more established. I know we're not, you know, when I was younger, we weren't buying big houses. We're still not buying big houses, but you know, there's a group. And as they get older, you know, my father was, you know, a colonel in the military, you know, he was dun, 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 and now as he gets older, he gets a little more confused. He gets a little full of fear. You know, I think as much as him and I used to butt heads as I was younger, now he's like, where are you? You know, are you close? Okay, good to know. You don't need to come over, but it's just, you know, it's reassuring. So even the most steadfast minds are even starting to get a little concerned or worried. So even my clients, I have to be a little, you know, kinder. Not that I'm using the wrong word, kind, but it's still important. But you're just blessed with great people then.
I guess.
Well, and listen, if, you know, and everything's been kind of going everybody's way, but it does feel like we're going to start with this interest rate change. People are going to start getting a little, maybe, hopefully not, but an opportunity to become a little more testy.
Yeah, of course. I mean, mortgages are, you know, it's one of the biggest transactions that you'll go through in your life. So I can't
one
say
of
that,
three.
Yes. So I can't say that they're that I've never had a disgruntled client, but I think just being able to talk them through their challenges.
Well, and I think disgruntled, maybe I just think people seem to be a little more concerned and they're a little more vocal about it. It's not like we're any we're treating people any differently. Yes. It's just we're a little testy.
Yeah, and especially with interest rates. When they're like, what do you mean, what's my interest? What do you mean this is the interest rate? And it's like, I'm transparent. I'm not, you know,
right.
I'm not selling you an interest rate that's really high and or really low and adding fees here and there. This is the interest rate. This is the going interest rate. This is the market rate. This is not my rate. This is the rate.
Do you, what do you like to do? Like, so you get tired, you know, you deal with interest rates all day. Are you a big beach goer?
I love the beach.
Do you go every week? Do you and your boyfriend like to go every weekend? Do you drive on? Do you get the sticker? What's up? You walk on?
So his parents have a house in Broadkill.
Okay.
Which is really nice because it's a private beach. Okay. You know, there's no public, there's the one public parking right next to the store. So we drive right on that beach and it's nice because you can, since it's private, you can build bonfires at night and go camping there. And
okay.
You can have the dogs off leash and, you know everyone that's out there because they're all your neighbors or his dad's neighbors. So we spend a ton of time down in Broadkill.
And Broadkill's a great area for, especially when you have a younger child, mm-hmm. because there, I don't know if it's considered bay or river or inlet. I don't know what it is, but it's not, you know, big waves aren't crashing into yes. Broadkill. It's a little more calm and yeah. a little easier for little kids. It's more like a Lewis Beach.
Yes. And we do. We love the ocean too. I love waves and stuff. It's yeah. definitely easier with my son to go to Broadkill. But my boyfriend and his son, they're big into surfing. So they like to go down to the inlet and the jetty and catch those waves there too. So
it's weird. We've always been here. Kids grew up in the ocean. And this last couple of years, I've just been a little weirded out by my kids going in the ocean. I'm like, you know, just wait out. Don't even go out and swim. Like if I'm not down there, I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting old and weird, but it's like, I remember there was a lady, her son went in the ocean a couple years ago. And I remember her writing on Facebook. He never came out. I was like, oh my God, what do you mean? It was like this whole, and I just freak out a little bit. So Broadkill sounds nice. So does Lewis Beach.
It's funny how those stories will definitely, yesterday, this was me being crazy, but I was reading about that kid who was 5 who died in a car in Texas. Oh. And I went and checked my car to make sure my son wasn't still sitting there. I'm like, I know I dropped him off at daycare, but what if?
You know, remember the guy that left his kid in the rudder? Yeah. That's weird. Right? Well, that's a great point, honestly. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I think we're starting to see the repercussions of it. But, you know, CNN, I remember when I was a kid and that little girl fell in the well.
Yeah.
And I remember, and this was in Texas. I lived in New Mexico. And I remember I went in our backyard to see if we had a well. But that would kind of be the beginning of this weird thing where we place like CNN and stuff, they treat like the United States as a community. And I guess we are a community of states, right? But we're not, you know, we're not community. You know, I remember when we had that unfortunate thing that happened over there in Texas with the children and stuff. And you know, as a person that have kids, you're like, oh, God, that really hits home. But, you know, and my dad was all upset about it. And I go, you know, there's not much we can do here about that. That's their community. You know, they need to rally around them, you know, the community and help, you know, take care of the community. But we're reacting here like we live there. And it's, I mean, I feel like a couple years ago, I started just really focusing on community and not really being concerned. No disrespect to the rest of the world, but I can only handle so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people need, or people should or would want to, you know, focus more on community and not getting so caught up in drama that's not taking place here.
Yeah.
And really wasting our energy. Not that we're not sad. We feel bad. But, you know, it's hard to manage all that.
You can't take it all on.
You can't take it all on. And, I think it's cool that we live where the president comes, you know.
Yeah.
People, I was watching, it was interesting because, you know, I watch a lot of different things and people were showing this clip and they're like, that's a body double. That's not even the president. Look at him. He's buff. And Biden is, if you've seen him riding the bike down here, he is not frail.
Yeah.
And I feel like he got a bad rap with that fall because I personally have fallen a lot younger my son and I were doing BMX up in Milford, and I was locked in. And I pull up, and then I'm like, and I didn't just fall over. I fell over and knocked four more people down. So it was like this boom, 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 boom. You know, if anybody's gotten their foot stuck in a toe clip or a, you know, locked in shoe, you just fall over. You can't quite figure out what you're doing until you've hit the ground.
Yeah.
So I felt like he kind of got a bad rap.
And there were so many people around him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I thought he used to kind of ride around. No one was down there. It looked like it was a crowd.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it's funny because so many people are like, oh, when the president's in town, you know, things are shut down, things are this. And I'm like, I'm from D.C. I'm so used to these motorcades and having so much, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's funny that you mentioned that because people are like, you know, the president is, you know, he's been down there 10 times. And he's been down a couple of times now. But early on, he had only been down here one time as... he hadn't been taken office yet, so he was, you know, pre-president. And then he came down one time after that, but they're like, he's down there all the time, down at three. I mean, he's not. You know, they make these stories up. It's like he's not been down here. And then I think he came down once for his wife's birthday, and then this year he was here for the birthday. I was surprised he was here this past weekend because this is like, he usually kind of stays away during the happening part of the summer, but he's like, and he looks good. I don't know. I'm not going to commit. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. I know you're busy and you got a whole lot of stuff going on. I appreciate you taking the time. Love Model Mortgage. How can people find you if they're interested in doing stuff like that and they want to just learn more about what's going on over there? Your TikTok?
Yeah. Right. You probably won't find much on my TikTok.
You're not going to learn much there.
No, we have a website. You can just probably Google Courtney Rice, Model Mortgage. It should come up, Painter's Mill.
That's it?
Yeah.
Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook.
Do you have Instagram with business, or is it?
I pretty much commingle my my Instagram. I do have a separate page for business for on Facebook, but I use both of them pretty much the same.
We're pretty bad at it. I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, here's something from work. Oh, here's something I cooked.
Yeah.
I had a lady's like, I cannot stand people that blend their Facebook or their Instagrams with work and personal. I'm like, I can't stand the people that say that.
Yeah. You know, I to me, it's boring.
Right.
No one wants to follow a page just about mortgages.
Right. Exactly.
So you have to spice it up a little bit with some tidbits of, you know, what else I do.
Well, it's funny. My wife and I, because we are moving, and we're like, we want to start doing like a cooking channel. You know, you like cooking. I think cooking's fun. I think this is the best time right now in our lives that we can really start turning back into cooking. You know, I hate to, you know, not promote restaurants because, you know, we love our local restaurants and we will do anything for our local restaurants. But at the same time, we got to hang on, right? So this is the best time, I think, in our lives right now to start finding ways to cook and getting back into the kitchen.
Yeah, you know, when my son first started tasting foods and I was cooking all kinds of things because I wanted him to have like a wide profile of stuff that he loves. And I started, this was like, you know, during the pandemic, I started an Instagram page of just stuff that I would cook for him.
Oh,
and
cool.
I thought, this stuff for toddlers. And a few of my friends were like, you know, I started my kids on real food real quick because of you. And I kind of stopped doing that.
He was starting to build an audience.
He still eats really well. He still eats really well. I just stopped posting it.
I saw somebody, which I thought was great. And after I saw it, I was like, duh. But they basically took an apple and boiled it, an apple and boiled it. And then basically just kind of cut off the top. And then I didn't realize that there's a spoon that has that grated edge, kind of a serrated edge. Mm-hmm. You scrape it and then you feed them like it's applesauce.
Uh-huh.
Duh.
I made applesauce. When he did purees, I made them all homemade, not store-bought.
Isn't it awesome being a mom?
It is.
Or a parent.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing in the entire world.
It is.
I got up this morning and, like I said, went for a bike ride with my son, and it's just the best. I'm so thankful that I have kids, especially even though I'm a little older. I mean, if I didn't have kids right now, I'm not sure what it would look like, my day would look like. But to get up and
Yeah.
And then to see your kids like have relationships, and it's just, I'm just, oh my God, I'm so thankful to have my children.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, listen, Courtney, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I'm rooting for you.
Thanks.
You got this. And let us know if you want to do something about food or cooking.
Okay.
If you fire that back up, we'd love to hear about it.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right.
You come back sometime?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gladly.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.